thank you for joining us for this episode of Journey Now, produced by Journey Church in Brentwood, Tennessee. Join us online or in person on Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. For more information on Journey Church and our gatherings, visit journeytn.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another week of Journey Now. I'm Grant, part of the Journey team, and before we get to today's message from Pastor Kevin Dixon, I want to share some format changes with you. When we began this podcast way back in April, our goal was to provide a daily point of connection, prayer, and encouragement at a time when we couldn't be together at all. While things are definitely not back to normal, the Journey community is now gathering on Sundays, and we're enjoying classes like Anthony Hendricks' Biblical Unity Series, the Alpha Gatherings, and more. So we're changing things up as we begin a new time for Journey. We want this podcast to deepen your connection to Journey's teaching and community. So starting this week, we'll release 3 episodes per week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You'll still hear from individual voices, and the Wednesday pastor roundtables will continue. Those have become some of our favorite discussions. But we also want to interview people at Journey and in the wider church. As always, let us know what you think, and thanks for listening, rating us on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and sharing your favorite episodes with friends. It's always an honor to be part of your week, so thank you. Now, here's today's message from Kevin.
Hi, my name is Kevin Dixon. I'm one of the pastors here at Journey Church in Brentwood. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast. Well, this election season has been an experience. In a country that is so deeply divided, it makes for some compelling drama, especially as I watched the political element just wrestle with its deep divide. And thinking about this got me to thinking about the essence of power and the seduction of power and the subtle encroachment of entitlement in the consciousness and subconsciousness of our leaders. When I was a young pastor, I got to be part of a denominational effort to mobilize the churches in our denomination toward a disciple-making effort. In these meetings, I was able to get to know the leadership of the denomination. And during a meeting, or I guess right prior to a meeting, it was clear as we entered the room that the prep was not done. The room was not ready. It was incomplete. And we all kind of looked around and nobody was really doing anything. The coffee wasn't set up. The podium wasn't set up. The chairs weren't. And so nothing really was set up. So I started to set up the room. It's what I do. Rolled out a couple of tables, found some tablecloths, started setting up some chairs. And I felt this tap on my shoulder by one of the leaders. And he said, hey, we don't do this. We got people to do this kind of stuff. Seemed kind of odd for someone to tell me to stop helping, especially in a church context. I felt strangely conflicted. Do I stop, like I was told by the older denominational leader, or do I follow my heart and just help out? I stopped for about a minute and then started helping again when it was obvious that there wasn't enough people to get the job done. Leaders can think they don't have to do the little things, and they can even come up with some phrases that make it sound like they are not doing these things for noble reasons. Statements like, good leaders don't do those mundane things anymore because that is not the best use of their time or their skills. And sometimes it's even made a case for the idea of stewardship, a stewardship question. That is not what I get paid for. I hire people to do what is not a profitable use of my time. When presented with the opportunity to do something that would be perceived as beneath them, there is generally, and I hate to say this, a reason for many as to why they don't help. And then there's this picture in Scripture of the one we follow, whose name is Jesus. He's in the upper room with his disciples. The God of the universe is putting on a display of greatness. and heart. In John 13, it says this, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. You can picture it, can't you? You can picture the one at the head of the table, the one with all the power, taking off his robe, getting down on his feet, and washing feet of the disciples, getting on his knees and washing the disciples' feet. I wonder if any of those things passed through Jesus' mind, like, don't we pay people to do this, to wash feet? Isn't this a little below my pay grade? Is this what greatness does? How is this a use of power? It's power used to serve. In today's world, I wonder, would this be considered weakness? Why didn't he just get a servant to do it? This is so scandalous. The one with all the power, all the privilege, all the cards, and all that there is scraping the dirt and crap off the feet of his friends. And he uses his power to repel entitlement. He uses his power to show strength in serving. A question to ponder this week for all of us is, what would I say is beneath me to do, beneath you to do? This article caught my attention this summer. In July, Shaquille O'Neal, the retired basketball Hall of Famer, 7-footer, great big giant of a man, stopped to help a family whose car broke down alongside the road. This happens every day. But a surprise deputy said this, a lot of times when we go to crashes and stuff, usually we do see people pulled over and helping, so it's not something that's necessarily unusual, said Deputy Patrick. But obviously, not every day is it Shaq. It's not that he stopped to help, it's that it is a person of privilege that stopped to help. That's why it made the news. It was totally unexpected. When was the last time we did something with our privilege and our power that was totally unexpected? Power was always supposed to be used to help those in need and to serve those who would otherwise not be served. So after these weeks and months of a public struggle over power, I wonder out loud, who would use their power to really serve? And then I reflect on the one I follow. Jesus, with all the power, was the one who did the unexpected. He did the service of a servant.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed these episodes, please consider helping us continue to produce them with a financial gift. Go to journeytn.com/give to learn more.